Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest candidate for the Providence City Council, Catherine Kerwin. She's also communications director for the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence. Thank you for joining us, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
Catherine, you're running unopposed for the Providence City Council seat being vacated by Terry Hassett in Smith Hill and Mount Pleasant. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to be on the Providence City Council.
Yeah, I'm a Providence native. I was born and raised in the city, and I went away for school to University of Wisconsin after I graduated from high school in Providence in 2015. And I'd always been really involved in politics here in the city as an intern with Mayor Tavares and as the youngest staff person for his campaign for governor in 2014. And I went away to University of Wisconsin and I started working on a lot of student power issues around gun safety and student power rights. And I learned a lot about organizing and activism, and I came back to take a job with the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence and started learning about the representation on Smith Hill. And I really decided that it was the perfect time to get involved at the local level because politics at the national level have been so hostile.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's switch gears and talk about one of the big issues this week. Rival candidates are criticizing the front runners in Rhode Island's gubernatorial race, Democrat Gina Raimondo and Republican Alan Fung, for failing to take part in televised debates. We should note that Mayor Fung has been considerably less accessible to the media than Governor Raimondo. She typically answers questions from reporters after her fairly frequent media events. But let me ask you, Catherine Kerwin, you're a supporter of Governor Raimondo. Would you agree that she and Mayor Fung should take part in televised debates and other debates with their opponents?
Yeah, I agree. You're totally right that the governor has been super accessible. You know, she's been doing a lot to uplift the right voices in the media, like Giovanna Rodriguez, who is a gun violence survivor.
The question was whether the governor should be taking part in debates with her lead Democratic opponent, Matt Brown.
Right. And I do think she has been really accessible, but I would like to see her debate. And I think in the same way that I would like to see Alan Fung debate, it's good for public opinion. It's good for reaching the voters.
Maureen, we've seen Mayor Fung have kind of a modified Rose Garden strategy, seemingly wanting to cruise into the primary victory without having to face on the same stage Patricia Morgan and Giovanni Ferosi. We've been asking Mayor Fung since last fall to come on this program, and his campaign has been unwilling to make him available. Is this going to hurt him in the last 5 weeks of the Republican primary for governor?
Well, I think so far it hasn't. He's ahead in the polls, and I think the strategy worked. In other words, he kept his head down and kept out of controversy, and he built on his lead. Now I think he's going to have to make a decision, because at the end now people are going to start to focus on this. And while strategically it would be much better if he didn't have to debate, I think he's going to be forced, he's already agreed, at least to a radio debate. How far they can push that into television and how this affects the Raimondo Brown debate is something we have to wait and see. I don't know how long they can hold out.
Scott, what's your sense of how this debate about debates will impact the front runners, particularly Mayor Fung?
You know, it happens every election cycle we get this stuff. Look, it's better to have debates. It's better to have them on statewide TV than a tiny radio station in Woonsocket, which a lot of people around the state can't get. So I don't think there's much to this Fung debate with Patricia Morgan. And I do wish that the governor and Matt Brown would get together and have a TV debate. There's nothing wrong with it. She's a very good debater. She did very well last time. I don't think she has anything to worry about. I know she doesn't want to make people think that Matt Brown's equal to her, and she doesn't want to be in the same stage with him. I get that. But really, seriously, if you want to be governor, you shouldn't be worried about Matt Brown. The guy's got no money, doesn't have a lot of credibility at this point, and I think she should just go out and do it.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about the gun issue. As we mentioned in our introduction, our guest, Catherine Kerwin, is communications director for the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence. There were kind of mixed results from the General Assembly this year on gun issues. The legislature passed a ban on devices like bump stocks and also a so-called red flag bill meant to take guns away from people who might pose harm to others. But other proposals, such as one that would stop new sales of semi-automatic rifles, did not move forward. Catherine, I'd like to start by asking you, what do you say to people on the other side of the debate that law-abiding gun owners are not the problem and that many of the restrictions from the gun control organizations, such as yours, would largely impact law-abiding gun owners?
I think that's a strong argument, and we hear it a lot. And I think the bottom line is the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence is not anti-Second Amendment and not anti-gun ownership per se. What we are working to fight for is gun safety legislation that will impact people's lives in a real way. We're thinking about not the reliable concealed carry permit holders, but the carry holders that are walking into elementary schools across the state of Rhode Island and not notifying administration. And we think that people should know there's a risk of accidental detonation when people are carrying in schools. And there's a risk of accidental detonation that even concealed carry permit holders are facing when they're carrying, especially semi-automatic weapons.
Before we go to Scott, would you say the results from the General Assembly this year were mostly a win, loss, or draw from the side of your viewpoint on gun issues?
It was a big win. You know, seeing the red flag bill and seeing the bump stock ban was something that was great for gun safety. And Rhode Island really is at the cutting edge of gun safety legislation across the country. But we do need a gun safety ban, or we do need a ban on guns in schools and assault weapons.
I think she's right. Look, correlation doesn't mean causation. But if you look around the country, you'll see the states with the strongest gun laws, and this includes Rhode Island and Massachusetts, have much lower gun violence rates than states with both high gun ownership and weak laws. I'd point to Louisiana, Texas, some of those states. So I think that, first of all, I don't think most of the laws that her group has pushed have any problem at all, or should be any problem at all, for people who are responsible gun owners. In other words, I don't think they do really anything to curb the basic Second Amendment right.
Maureen, I have to tell you, I think it was kind of predictable in advance how things would play out at the legislature this year. Speaker Mattiello has kind of found a way to balance competing constituencies. So they passed the red flag bill and the bump stock ban, but not some of the other measures that were sharply opposed by gun owners. How do you see things, the outlook for things moving forward?
I think that at least nationally, and my sense is in the state, the people that want to limit automatic weapons, I think they're winning. I think there's a real subtle movement where you might be able to win on, they might be able to win on some other issues. But I see this as, I think the time has come where we might even get to a point where they would ban some semi-automatic weapons. I mean, I think that's the big thing. I mean, I think that's the challenge. And you would probably know better than I, Catherine. But my sense is there's momentum in that direction. What do you think?
Yeah, I would totally agree. Something we found from a poll this past legislative year was that the majority of Democrats do support an assault weapon ban.
I think what's sad is that it's easier to ban plastic straws than it is to ban assault weapons.
All right, on that note, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Ward 12 Providence City Council candidate and communications director for the Rhode Island Coalition Against Gun Violence, Catherine Kerwin. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.